Chapter 6. The reek of snake is strong enough to make Kiba gag, but at least that means it's easy to find Orochimaru's base. Kiba carefully skirts the edges of the small grove of trees, keeping to the long grass and staying low. There are probably traps in the trees, and it smells like guards linger there sometimes, though he can't smell any right now. The entrance is clear, a door set into rock, and Kiba makes note of it, of how fresh the scents are. This one, at least, is used frequently, and by a lot of different people. Not their best bet if they want to sneak in. And Kiba certainly hopes they're sneaking. But with Deidara and Hidan in the group, that could be up in the air. Containing a snort, he ducks lower, slides past a fallen log, and follows the line of trees around the edge of the meadow. There are vents scattered in a trail, leading toward the forest on the other side, and the smells coming up from them make Kiba wrinkle his nose and move a little more quickly than he might otherwise. Pain and anger and fear, and it almost puts Kiba in mind of the basement at the Akatsuki base, but more concentrated. More people suffering, and Kiba's heard what Orochimaru did in Konoha, what he's done since Sasori started keeping tabs on him, but it's horrifying to be so close to that. Ahead of him, there's another stand of rock, an outcropping that looks like it's bursting out of the meadow. Tall, and Kiba tips his head back, trying to judge height. At least 20 feet, and it's a good vantage point. A good place to hide another entrance, too. And he breathes in as he slips close. Less snake smell, thankfully. But there's something else. Something he's smelled before. A little dusty. Not mustiness, but road dust from traveling, touched with something bright underneath, like flowers and green grass. And Kiba takes another breath, trying to figure out the source. Tracks it back to where it gets stronger, at the edge of a metal door that's not quite closed, and grins in satisfaction. No way of knowing the base's layout inside, but this entrance at least doesn't smell frequently used. There's the grass and flower smell, and bone and blood and medicine smell, but nothing else fresh. Even if Deidara and Hidan decide to go with a frontal assault, Kiba can slip in here, try to pick out Kabuto's smell and track him down. He met him at the Chunin exams, and that should make him familiar enough for tracking in a contained area. It's, "Who are you?" "Fuck." Kiba flinches hard, twists around, but there's no one behind him, no smell. "Up here," the voice says, unimpressed, and Kiba mutters a curse, glances up. No one's looking down at him, but that voice definitely came from the top of the rock. He leaps up, channeling just a touch of chakra into his hands and feet, and scales the sheer face. The top is scattered with trees, carpeted with grass, and Kiba pulls himself up, breathes in. Flowers and grass, he thinks, meeting red eyes behind black-framed glasses. He dismissed it as fresh, not still present. Kurenai always chided him for getting caught up in the scents without looking at the rest of the world. "Good senses," he says, and wonders if he should grab his knives. Being found out is bad, but it's the girl he saw on the road earlier, red hair still dusty, curled in on herself with her arms wrapped around her knees. Her arms are scattered with scars, some newer than others, and fresh needle marks, and she smells like misery and uncertainty and anger. "I'm a censor," she says, and shoves her glasses up to wipe her eyes, then uncurls a little. Her gaze is sharp, wary but not hostile, and she looks sad. "Your chakra is really bright." Kiba blinks, then frowns. "You see chakra?" he asks in surprise, because he knows most sensors feel it. Ino described it as feeling ripples once, but actually seeing chakra seems like something different. Worse for Akatsuki if she's going to notice them coming. And Kiba hesitates. He has his black knife with its heavy sedative, his white knife with its poison, and if he wanted to, he could kill her right now. He should, even, because she's seen him, and that's enough to make her a threat. She smells sad, though. Like Hinata when her dad's being a particularly big ass to her, and Kiba doesn't want to attack her. "Told you I'm a censor," she says tartly, and crosses her legs under herself, sitting up a little straighter as she looks him over. Her eyes linger on the scratched Hitaite, widen faintly. "You're from Konoha?" "I was," Kiba says, and crouches down like he's settling in. Easy enough to move if she tries to do something, but it doesn't look like he can. He glances at her again, and those marks in her arm are really dark. He frowns a little, but even if he's going to put her in a near coma, he doesn't have to be an ass about it. Rocking back on his heels, he digs some of the bruise cream out of one of his pouches and holds the jar up. "Want some of this? It's just herbs and shit, but it'll make the bruises go away faster." Red eyes widen, and the girl hesitates, gaze flickering down to her arms. She wraps a hand around the marks for a moment, mouth pulling tight like she's about to cry, and then nods. When she makes no move to reach out for it, though, Kiba unscrews the top himself and moves a little closer, crouching at her side. "Smells pretty awful, doesn't it?" he jokes. "Sorry about that. My sister taught me how to make it, and it's the best for getting rid of sore muscles and bruises." "I don't think it smells that bad," the girl says, and she dips her fingers into the cream and raises it to her nose for a moment, a tiny smile crossing her face. "My mom used some of these herbs, too." "Yeah?" Kiba asks with a grin. "Guess everyone's got their favorite smelly mix." She laughs a little at that, carefully rubbing the bruise cream around the needle marks in her arm. "Thank you," she says. Konohanin are nice." Not exactly what Kiba expected to hear from someone sitting on Orochimaru's doorstep. And he snorts, taps the deep scratch in his hitaite. "Not a Konohanin anymore," he corrects. "Thanks, though." Her eyes flicker from the hitaite to Kiba's face, and then her expression firms. "That doesn't change what I said," she said stubbornly. "You, and there was a boy during the Chunin exams." "You competed?" Kiba asks in surprise, taking another breath of her smell. Not something he remembers, but she doesn't look all that much older than him, maybe a year at most. "I didn't get past the second round," she admits. "But in the forest, there was a bear, and a boy from Konoha saved me. He had soft dark hair and black eyes, and he smiled at me." "Except for the smile, that sounds like Sasuke," Kiba thinks. "Blue shirt, pale, fan crest on the back of his shirt?" he asks curiously. When the girl nods quickly, he sits back and tips his head. "Huh. That sounds like Uchiha Sasuke. Who'd have thought he could smile without straining something?" The girl laughs, nudging her glasses up. "I'm Uzumaki Karin," she says. "Thanks for telling me his name." "Uzumaki?" Kiba loses his balance, almost falls over before he can brace himself again. "Are you related to Naruto?" Karin's eyes widen sharply, and she twists forward, comes up on her knees, and grabs for his arm. "There are other Uzumaki?" she asks, and there's something close to desperate. "You know other Uzumaki?" "Yeah," Kiba says, studying the shape of her face, and he can see it. She looks a bit like Naruto, just with red hair and eyes instead of blonde and blue. "He was in the exams with us. Short, blonde hair, loud voice, lots of chakra." Karin hesitates, and then her eyes slip closed, like she's trying to call up an image. I think I saw him, but only from a distance. There were a couple of people with really strong chakra there." Between Gaara, Naruto, and Orochimaru hiding as part of an Ame team, Kiba's willing to bet there were. He's an orphan, he says, and it's one of those things his mom never talks about. Though, the one time Kiba asked, she looked like she wanted to tell him. I didn't know there were any other Uzumaki around. There aren't many, Karin says, and it's angry, full of sharp-edged grief. Our village was raised by Kiri and Kumo, and most of the people were killed. Everyone who left got scattered. My mom ended up in Kusa, and she didn't know how to find anyone else. Kiba hesitates, sinks his teeth into his lip. He wants to say something, but he needs to keep his cover. He's supposed to hate Konoha. But Naruto is all alone, thinking he doesn't have any family at all, with so much of the village still whispering hatefully when he walks past. Everything Kiba's doing is for him, because he wants to protect Naruto, because he wants him alive and happy and not threatened by Akatsuki just because of what someone else sealed inside of him. Damn it, Kiba thinks, closing his eyes. Damn it, fine. Look, he says, and closes his hand over Karin's on his arm, meeting her eyes squarely. Do you want to be here? Those needle marks. Orochimaru's been experimenting on you, right? You've been here for maybe a few hours, and he's already running tests on you. Is that what you want? Karin's mouth tightens, and she looks down at the marks, fingers tightening on Kiba's arm, pauses, and then quickly shakes her head. I don't, she whispers. But he took me out of Kusa, and they killed my mom, and they wanted to... She presses a thumb to one of the scars on her arm, a faint crescent that looks like a bite mark, and Kiba's stomach turns over. Go to Konoha, he tells her. Look, this place is going to turn into a battleground in a few hours. Grab whatever you brought with you, whatever supplies you need, and run. Get to Konoha and find Shiranui Genma. He'll help you get to Naruto. Karin looks at him, startled, and wavers. But... She starts, then pauses. Are you sure they'll take me in? She whispers. Yeah, Kiba says, giving her a smile. Just don't tell anyone but Genma that you met me. Say you overheard Orochimaru talking about Naruto or something, but you need to go quickly, okay? Gods, this is fucking stupid. But Kiba can't stop himself. Breathes out, tells himself he's the biggest fucking idiot on the planet, and slides his hand down to grip Karin's fingers. Please, he says. I don't want to have to hurt you later, and I don't want Orochimaru to hurt you either, especially if you're Naruto's family. Karin's face softens, and with a rough, quiet sound, she throws herself at him, wraps her arms around his neck, and hugs him desperately. Kiba jerks, overbalances, and sits down hard, but it's been months since he left Konoha, months since anyone hugged him. And he doesn't know Karin, but she smells of flowers and grass and Hana's bruise cream, and Kiba wraps his arms around her in return. He has to close his eyes at the warmth of her, pressed right up against him, and he misses this. Misses Akamaru and Hana and his mom, the casual touches with Hana and Shino. It's so nice. Please don't tell anyone, he whispers, even as he hugs her in return. Please, I can't. Karin's smile is sad and understanding. You're a spy, she says softly. It's okay, I won't tell. Can I carry a message back for you? Relief that's almost enough to make Kiba's hands shake trembles through him, and he loses all of his breath in a rush. Thank you, he breathes. Fuck, thank you so much. I don't want to be a thing that people just want for healing, Karin says, and there's something fierce in the words. I want to be something else, something that I want to be. So thank you for giving me a place to go. Kiba laughs, rough and relieved. You don't even have to tell anyone in Konoha that you can heal. Ever, he promises. You'll just be Naruto's clan member. That's more than enough, right? Yes, Karin says determinedly, and pulls back, settling on her knees. She wipes her eyes again, then meets Kiba's gaze and says, Shiranui Genma? Yes, Kiba breathes out, and gods, this is such a fucking risk. But he wants to believe that she'll do what she says she will. That she really is Naruto's family, and that's worth the risk, isn't it? This is for Naruto. All of this is for Naruto. So he doesn't have to be scared of Akatsuki. So he doesn't have to be lonely. Kiba's willing to risk a hell of a lot for that. Taking a breath, he pulls one of his scrolls out of his weapons pouch and offers it to Karin. It looks like more poison recipes, but now that Genma's got his cipher, that's all Kiba needs to send. Tell him pink rose and white camellia. Exactly that, okay? And in that order. Pink rose, white camellia, Karin repeats and nods. She glances down at the meadow, pauses, and asks, if you have even just 10 ryo, I'll leave now and get supplies in the next village. Even better. Kiba nods quickly, drags out the money from his mission with Konan, and only keeps a handful of bills for himself before he passes over the pouch, tucking the rest of the bruise cream inside of it. I've been taking missions, he says. I'll be fine. Just go quickly. Karin nods firmly, rising to her feet. When Kiba rises too, she throws her arms around him again, clutching him tightly for another minute. Thank you, she says again. Thank you, thank you. Kiba presses a hand between her shoulder blades, breathes in the flower and grass smell of her. Of course, he says, and makes it lighter than he feels. You're Naruto's cousin or something. That means you're good in my book. She laughs a little, faintly wet, and pulls back to rub at her eyes. Be careful, she says. Kimimaro is here, and he's one of Orochimaru's favorites. He's the one who was traveling with us. What about Kabuto? Kiba asks, remembering the white-haired boy he saw. Gaunt, but definitely a shinobi. If he's one of Orochimaru's experiments, he's a threat. Karin winces faintly, pressing a hand over the needle marks again. He's helping Orochimaru, she says. It was the two of them doing the tests. Well, at least Kiba's not going to feel guilty when they drag their rat back to Sasori. He grins at Karin, trying to make it reassuring and cocky. We'll kick their asses. No worries. Thanks. Karin nods, gives him one last lingering look, and then turns and leaps down from the rock, landing lightly. She hurries into the forest, moving fast, and Kiba watches the shadow of her red hair disappear into the gloom. But her scent is fading, passing out of his range even with the wind blowing past her, and she doesn't so much as pause. Well, that's definitely not how Kiba expected things to go. But he's got a message headed back to Genma, a family member Naruto didn't know about coming to crash into Naruto's life, an entrance to Orochimaru's base, and proof that Kabuto is present. He's willing to call that a successful scouting mission, even if it's not quite standard. Pleased with himself, he slides off the far edge of the rock, immediately ducking into the long grass and keeping low. Hopefully Karin was Orochimaru's main sensor, or better yet, his only sensor. They're pretty rare as far as Kiba is aware. It's one of the reasons the Yamanaka are so valuable to Konoha, beyond just their clan techniques. They produce a lot of sensors with every generation. His mom worked with a lot of them when hunting bounties, because a sensor plus a tracker meant catching their prey was a sure bet. Kiba's wishing now that he'd listened to more of her stories about it, at least enough to be able to plan for sensors better. But he'd never thought to end up on this side of the fight. Carefully, Kiba skirts the main entrance, keeping his attention on air currents and any hint of patrol or guards. But if they're around, they're better at hiding than he is at finding, and he's willing to bet that's not the case. Across the deer path, the forest looms, and Kiba ducks into the trees with a breath of relief, glad to be undercover again. There's... Motherfucker! Hidan. Undoubtedly Hidan. Kiba freezes, because that was loud, blatant, and close to him. Takes a breath, even as he leaps up into the trees, and the scent of blood hits him hard. The reek of bare guts and turned earth and sweat. The scorched edge of a katon jutsu and the scent of scales. Not Orochimaru, but similar somehow. And then, under it, something even more familiar. Remembered from grassy hills when he was skipping class. Sunny days of cloud watching and laughing and friends and... Kiba has a really bad feeling about this. He leaps across branches, darts between trees and the deepest shadows, high in the air. And the sounds are definitely coming from the spot where he left the other Akatsuki members. With a muttered curse, Kiba draws his knives, hurls himself up into the higher branches of the next tree up the slope, and takes half a second to glance over the fight before he leaps down, white knife flashing up. The blade of a sword crashes into it, slides, and Kiba disengages, goes low, and drives his shoulder at the Kunoichi's gut even as he recognizes her. Uzuki Yugo, Hana's friend, he thinks, gritting his teeth, and fuck, but she's Anbu. How the hell is he supposed to fight her? Itachi slides around him, twists through Yugo's footwork, and hits her with a blow from one hand that knocks her right off her feet. She lands on one hand, flips over to land in a crouch, and lunges without pause, sword swinging up to gut him. Itachi darts back, but not fast enough, and the blade opens a line in his cloak, drawing blood. There's no time to help him, though. Another man is rising in front of Kiba, bleeding from the lip, sunglasses knocked askew, and he brings his hands up to flash through a jutsu. Kiba curses, dodges the kunai-shaped tips of the jutsu, and grabs a smoke bomb out of his pouch. It detonates the moment it's past his fingertips, and under its cover he leaps high, slams a knee at the man's head, and when he gets an arm up in time to block, Kiba bounces off of it, lands and lashes out at hamstrings with a vicious slice. Puppy! Hidan crows, loud and obnoxiously gleeful. Fuck, I'm glad you're back! That means absolutely nothing good. Kiba is sure. He growls, rolls under a kick that skims his hair, and kicks out one of the man's ankles. He falls with a yelp, but instantly there's a black crow diving talons first for Kiba's eyes, and he lashes out, slashes right through it only for it to vanish with a puff of smoke. Summons then, but that means that no matter how easily they're dismissed, there's an unlimited number the summoner can call. Little fucking busy, he snarls at Hidan, twisting to his feet and ducking under another kick. A flicker of motion seen out of the corner of his eye makes him leap, flipping over the violet-haired blur that almost takes out his spine. And this is the snake scent, their exam proctor from the Forest of Death. And Kiba takes a breath, smells the snakes half a second before they surge out of the sleeves of her coat, and hurls himself up into the branches of the tree above him. Yugo is stabbing out, and Itachi is in the middle of trying to catch the crow guy with his Sharingan, so Kiba lets himself drop down right on top of Yugo. Anko's snakes following, and Yugo cries out as they crash into her. Kiba leaps free, twists to land on his feet, rolls forward and back upright, and comes face to face with Nara Shikamaru. Fuck, Kiba says. And in the half second when Shikamaru is frozen in pure shock, Kiba snaps his body forward and headbutts him right in the face. Puppy! Deidara calls. And he sounds just as gleeful as Hidan, which is even more not good. Stop playing and get over here. We've got a present for you. Why are you both fucking freaks? Kiba groans, but he leaps over Shikamaru's dazed body and across a large boulder, then down to where Hidan and Deidara have cornered. Oh, you fucking assholes! He hisses and flips his white knife around, driving it towards Hidan's ribs. Hidan cackles, ducking around the blow. What? Did you want him wrapped? We could put a bow on him, maybe some ribbon. Be grateful, Deidara agrees, tone full of unholy amusement. And he grabs Kiba around the neck, hauls him back into a cheerful stranglehold, and waves a hand at Neji. who's here, who's wavering on his feet and sporting a lump on his head that Kiba can see from 2 meters away, but still stubbornly in gentle fist stance. "You're fucking jerks," Kiba snaps, fighting his way out of Deidara's grip. "And while you were being fucking assholes, I found Orochimaru's base, so can we actually get this mission finished with already?" "You're no fun, Deidara huffs, but he tosses a small ball of explosive clay at Neji's feet with a careless flick of his wrist, then hops back several feet, pulling Kiba with him. "No!" Kiba almost cries, but snaps his teeth shut on the word half an instant before it comes out, swallows it down, thinks, "I'm going to watch Neji die," jarring against Hidan and Deidara's teasing, and it's sick and awful and knots in his chest like acid leaking noxious smoke. Thinks, "I could save him if I moved now." Thinks, "I couldn't save him with everyone watching." Thinks, "I could save him, but I won't." Like it takes an eternity, he watches Neji's pale eyes widen, watches him jerk back only to hit the tree behind him, and the realization that there's nowhere else to go to flash across his face. Kiba had a crush on him from the first time he slipped into the Hyuga compound to pick up Hinata and saw Neji training, saw the grace and care in each motion, the careful concentration as he taught himself, and he knows precisely how powerful Deidara's explosives are. "Someone has to," he tells himself, and it's a sick, horrified, twisting thing. The ball bursts, explosion released, shaking the whole forest, and Deidara hauls Kiba, unresisting, back towards the main clearing. "Uchiha!" he calls. "The puppy found the base. Are we going now?" Itachi looks up, sidesteps one of Yugo's blows. "We should kill them," he says flatly, and catches the crow guy's arm, hauls him up and back, and lashes out with his other hand. The bone breaks with a wet, meaty crack, and Kiba is still too caught up in his horror to even wince as the guy shouts and stumbles. With a grunt, Deidara raises 2 fingers, eyes narrowing in concentration, and all around the edges of the small hollow, small figures made of explosive clay straighten up and spread out their arms. "Faster than Hidan sacrificing them all, he says carelessly, and grins. "Let them see real art as they die. It's a bang!" Itachi clicks his tongue, but catches Yugo's gaze as she lunges for him. He sidesteps as she falls, a strangled scream cracking from her throat, and says, "Then I believe we're done here." Kiba can't breathe, can't think, can't speak. Wants to throw himself in front of all of the Konoha Nin in the hollow and take the blow or get Akatsuki away from them or anything. He swallows down the bile that fills his mouth, remembers what was left of their last bounty when Deidara lost his temper and used too much clay, and then thinks of the same thing here. Yugo and Shikamaru and Anko and Neji all dead because of Akatsuki. He was laughing with Deidara just a few hours ago, making plans for how to beat the Sharingan. He'd forgotten that Deidara could be like this, that this could happen to people he knows and thinks of as friends. Shikamaru is on the ground where Kiba left him, unconscious, and maybe that's a blessing. He won't feel the blast. "Someone has to do it," Kiba thinks, and Akatsuki wants to conquer the world with the Bijuu. Someone needs to stop them, and Kiba is the only one in that position. He turns his face away, lets Deidara pull on him. "Hidan," he calls, and it's a miracle that his voice doesn't crack. "Come on, Kakuzu's not here to stitch you back together if Deidara gets you too." "Oh, shut up," Hidan huffs, dragging his scythe out of a tree with a wrench at the cord. He kicks Anko out of his way as she lunges, then scoffs. "Fucking waste of sacrifices. Lord Joshin, please forgive me for my failure, but these assholes are impatient pussies." "Don't let Konan hear you use that word, Deidara says, and laughs, leaping up the slope. Come on, fucking move. I haven't been able to make art since we left. Each step hurts. But Kiba keeps walking anyway. Lets Data to haul him along and is almost grateful for it. His heartbeat is a cacophony in his ears. Too loud, too fast. But when he feels Itachi's eyes lingering on his face, he doesn't let himself look back. I'm saving Naruto, he thinks. But Shikamaru is his friend too. Yugo is Hana's friend. Fuck. Kabuto's here, he says. Forces himself to think of the mission. To call up the mantra of, I hate Konoha. I hate it. I hate it. It burns in his chest, but he keeps moving. There's nothing else to do. I caught his scent from one of the vents. Seems like he's doing experiments with Orochimaru. Not a fucking prisoner, then. Deidara scoffs and pauses, turning back. Raises his fingers again. The seal of confrontation and... The explosion shakes the whole world. And something in Kiba's chest shatters. Destroyed forever.